Do the next right thing to make your marriage sing.
All I ever wanted was to be in love with you. When your eyes met mine, I knew that this was really true.
Hello, welcome to the Music of Marriage
with Bob
and Abby on May 7, I guess, already. I do believe you came unplugged, Robert. You might not have any voice today if we don't put that back in there. Thanks for joining us. TheMusicOfMarriage.com is where you can get our book, How to Make Your Marriage Sing, and podcasts of previous shows. So are we all connected? We think we're connected. We all think we're connected, right? But that's the reason we're doing this show, is because we're often disconnected.
Yes.
Or we become disconnected unexpectedly. But anyway, so today is an idea. How about this idea? Follow the yellow brick road in marriage. It's hard coming up every single week with a fresh way to attack the problem of marriage and to elevate what marriage is. So we all know about attacks on marriage from within and from without, et cetera, et cetera. Today. So being married ourselves, I think, we pulled out some old pictures. We moved not long ago, and there were some boxes that we finally opened over the weekend, and lo and behold, there were original love letters and cards, and just overflowing with poetry and rosy proclamations about every single thing about our love and our life together and what it would be and what we would be for each other, which is often the case, obviously, or people probably wouldn't get married. So being artists too, and Bob a graphic designer, a lot of these were very worth saving because they're works of art in themselves. He went to great lengths to produce, of course, pre-computer era, hand-drawn graphics that fold out into shapes, and each shape had a part of the letter on it, and it went on and on. So we've been following this yellow brick road of marriage for a while, so to speak, and we thought the idea of that could give us all some angle to think of how to proceed forward in our thoughts about marriage. Right?
Yes, that's right. And this... it's kind of a last-minute idea, but it's a good idea. And everybody, I'm sure, remembers the movie The Wizard of Oz and Dorothy's famous songs from it. And the stage is set where Dorothy was at a critical juncture in her home in Kansas, and she didn't seem to be very content with her home and was dreaming of a place far away where she could be safe and happy. And sure enough, a tornado came and spun her house up to a place she didn't expect. And that was the land of Oz, where she soon found out that the grass wasn't greener on the other side. So anyway, Dorothy met a few friends along the way, but and a few obstacles as well, like the Wicked Witch of the West, who seemed to be determined to stop her from getting to the Wizard of Oz. And... wonder why. because that witch knew that everything would change for the better for Dorothy if she met the Wizard of Oz. And she also knew that things would change for the worse for her, because Oz had got her number long ago. So the saga continues. And you know, we've often heard that people in counseling often say, sometimes with their head in their hands, well, I really messed up in a big way, and I don't know how I did it. And the answer is always, it seems to come around to say they did it because they looked at their present experience, rather than fixing their gaze on their final destiny. And it's absolutely important to put everything into that perspective of destiny, which is eternal, because the present is tied to the future in what we call an eternal continuum, which is the meaning behind Jesus' prayer, "Father, let it be on earth as it is in heaven." So we are, I guess, in a place where we need to see all our actions in marriage in light of the future destiny you would like. And have you thought much about what you would like as a future destiny? Well, God thought already what our future destiny would be, both in marriage and in eternity, and that is an eternal life with Him, because we are souls that live forever, even though our bodies die. And eternal life with Him is much a happier place to be than its alternative, of course. And He also made marriage to last eternally as well, eternally in this lifetime, and then the fruit of it living on into eternity. That's kind of an interesting thought, because if God made marriage to last for our entire life, and He built marriage on Christian principles, then that would stand to reason that He would also make our Christian life last, or enable our Christian life to last and endure to the very end. Because how can we have a Christian marriage till death do us part if we fall away from the Christian faith? If you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, you will endure to the end, even though you fall into sin, even though you screw it up in marriage.
You'll be able to stay on the yellow brick.
You'll be able to stay on that road. Exactly.
How do we get back home when we are not content with our situation? This is what Dorothy seemed frustrated about. Well, a tornado came along and picked up the entire house that she was in. Was it the entire house? Right?
Yeah, the entire house.
And landed it in Oz for a reason. That's where a tornado dropped her house off. Often we have tornadoes happen in our life. Or maybe we want something to come along to improve our situation or change it. We're not happy with it. I'm not sure exactly what at the beginning was her complaint, or was her, or did this tornado, I forget.
That was before the tornado. She was just dreaming of a place far away.
That would be
safe
better.
And happy.
Okay, so somehow I guess she didn't feel safe and happy in her situation at the time.
That's when she sung Over the Rainbow, just before she sung that song. And that was what that was about.
So, you know, in our lives, how often are we like that from moment to moment, or day to day, or month to month, year to year, off and on, depending on people around us and the dynamics of our relationships with them, from our spouse to everybody else. We can be frustrated, or we can just feel like, you know, this isn't enough. I'm not being the me I want to be. I'm not fulfilled. I'm not truly content and happy. It's interesting that we search for that in this life, like Dorothy did. Mm-hmm. We all want to be safe, and we want to be happy. So it's good to think about, in marriage, kind of that yellow brick road that she was guided to when she landed in Oz by the nice witch, the good witch of the, was she the north, south?
East.
Probably the south, because we're in Tennessee.
The good witch of the east, yeah. I believe.
I think good witch of the south.
But interestingly, when her house landed in Oz, it landed right on top of the Wicked Witch of the West's sister, which is what...
It did?
And killed her, yes.
How do you know? Did it say that?
No, it did.
How do you know?
I remember the movie.
Do you remember that?
Right, Daryl?
Sing it in bits and pieces.
Yeah, no, that's what happened, and so that's what ired the Wicked Witch of the West so much, is that you killed my sister. So anyway, she had to play fireball
I
with the scarecrow.
I thought she was just wicked anyway.
Well, she was. They were both wicked, but one was knocked out. So see, in God's providence,
he was coming after them one at a time.
Even a terrible situation for good.
That's right. And that is what I believe that movie is probably trying to teach behind all that.
You know, all good stories, even Greek mythology going way back there, tales that have this kind of dramatic contrast of good and evil, are all based in man's idea that an eternity is calling in our soul, basically. And we have this need for God and need for resolution of our conflict. And so even tales that weren't told in a Christian sense, but just in a mythological, a fairy tale sense, often have this emphasis, this struggle between good and evil, and this idea of the necessity of redemption. And that's pretty interesting, and that's certainly one of the themes in The Wizard of Oz. I don't know if that's what they intended, but I think deep down inside, storytellers know
this.
They
know that.
Yes.
They know that. We all know that. And that's why we'll listen, because we can relate to it, because we all have those struggles and decisions constantly.
Like the Lord of the Rings or Narnia, they don't follow a very specific biblical pattern, but they echo biblical truths. And this whole idea of being content with your home and your situation.
And feeling, what did Dorothy say, safe?
And happy.
And happy. So what are you doing to make the people in your home or your spouse feel safe? What are you doing to make the people feel happy? And that's what, isn't that what everybody wants? Of course that's what we want. And so we can do this, right? We can do this together, except that Dorothy found that there was this pull and struggle between the Wicked Witch of the West, who she met in Oz, who continually put obstacles in her way to keep her from getting to Oz, which the Good Witch had guided her to. You just follow this path and don't move your feet off this path. Whatever you do, stay on this path. What the Wicked Witch knew was that there would be good at the end of that yellow brick road for Dorothy. And she didn't want that good. So everybody loves that story, The Wizard of Oz. Big hit, of course, of all time. One of the biggest. So right there tells us there's the wicked and there's the good. And we have to work really hard to stay on that path.
Well, and sometimes the tornadoes are the thing that will bring us to the happiness we're looking for. We say, oh, my life is falling apart and this way and that way, and we're unhappy with our situation. And so, you know, God will, he's a good persuader, let's put it this way. So he'll bring a few twisters our way and to give us a better, a higher point of view. Let's put it that way.
Definitely
Dorothy
higher.
Certainly had a higher point of view.
Let me change your perspective. If you're not content, we'll just send a tornado and carry you up.
Like the Germans used to say, in World War II, perhaps a few days in the cool will persuade you. Right. But no, the takeaway is don't focus on the destruction of the tornado. Focus on the reason God allowed the tornado.
To disrupt
your life. Mm-hmm. Because it often takes disruption to help us to land in a place that is safe and happy. And that's usually home, okay? But we have this song that we'd like to play for you. In fact, our whole show is centered around the songs from The Wizard of Oz, and the first one is called Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
What a smell of sulfur. I'm afraid you've made rather a bad enemy of the Wicked Witch of the West. The sooner you get out of Oz altogether, the safer you sleep, my dear.
Oh, I'd give anything to get out of Oz altogether. But which is the way back to Kansas? I can't go the way I came.
No, that's true. The only person who might know would be the great and wonderful Wizard of Oz himself.
Wizard of Oz?
Is he good or is he wicked?
Oh, very good, but very mysterious. He lives in the Emerald City, and that's a long journey from here. Did you bring your broomstick with you?
No, I'm afraid I didn't.
Well, then, you'll have to walk. The Munchkins will see you safely to the border of Munchkinland. And remember, never let those ruby slippers off your feet for a moment, or you will be at the mercy of the Wicked Witch of the West.
But how do I start for Emerald City?
It's always best to start at the beginning, and all you do is follow the yellow brick road. Just follow the yellow brick road.
My! People come and go so quickly here. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow, follow.
We're back with the music of marriage, talking about following the yellow brick road. Of course, metaphorically speaking, right?
You know, in landscaping, we've been working on that around our house. It'd be interesting if they made yellow bricks.
Oh,
somebody
yeah.
would have a good business doing that, wouldn't they? Maybe. Well, anyway, let's get back to the point. Staying on the path.
Yeah, staying on the path. And
sticking with things.
And all this happened in the Wizard of Oz because Dorothy was not quite content with her home situation. But boy, when you watch the movie all the way to the end, she, what was her final words? There's no place like home. But, you know, happiness and fulfillment, they're great things. But they're, if you set them up as ends in themselves to pursue, you'll be frustrated and disappointed because it's not how that works.
Before you read that, I just thought it's interesting. There's no place like home. Four words. There's no place like, whoops, that's five words. Wait, there's no place like home. Five. Five words. But.
Spelling is her strong point, but not
counting.
Math.
I just do that on my fingers. There's no place like home. But, you know, so the takeaway from this amazing production is just this one little idea. There's no place like home. And that's powerful. It's like the epitaph, the end, the ending idea, the ending reality, that after all this struggle and obstacles and encouragement and friends and, you know, up and down, we finally get to where we can say there's no place like home, which spiritually speaking in our, you know, world here compared to heaven. Hopefully that's what we will all be looking forward to being able to say, wow, there's no place like home here in heaven, the heaven that God made possible for me by giving me the ruby slippers, so to speak, that are his blood shed. Really, that if we wear those shoes, you know, he helps us to conquer all the, you know, obstacles and and weaknesses and offenses and just plain old sinful ways that we have. So,
yeah, like the Good Witch of the East counseled Dorothy when she put the ruby slippers on, and don't let those slippers off your feet, otherwise you will be at the mercy of the Wicked Witch of the West. And that's how our spiritual lives are. We're at the mercy of
forces.
The forces of evil.
Persuaders.
When we're not covered by the blood of Christ, basically, the ruby slippers. We're not wearing those ruby slippers.
And then staying on the path, which is very biblical, of the narrow, which we've talked about before. It's the path of most resistance that is going to get us to that place where we can say, wow, you know, there is no place like home. So if we translate that into our home life today and our relationship life, we can see how we can take on those character traits of, you know, perseverance and of having knowledge. Like Dorothy had to discern. People would tell her one thing and somebody would tell her something else, and you could see in her facial expressions she's trying to figure out, well, which one do I listen to, you know, what, but this one sounds right, you know, and I'll go with that one, and I must stay on the yellow brick road. So if we can translate that into our minds rather than drifting here and being, you know, pulled this way and that way, which often delays or completely obstructs us from, you know. So what we want to do is not be building brick walls. We want to, you know, follow that brick road.
That's right. And, you know, Sinclair Ferguson said that the struggles in the Christian life are ongoing. And I'm sure, I mean, the struggles in everyone's life are ongoing. But what we're talking about here is a person who has given their life to Christ, and they're wearing those ruby slippers. But still, the struggle in the Christian life is ongoing, and Christ dwells in us, but sin also dwells in us. And as long as these realities are true for us, there's bound to be tension and conflict in the Christian life. So if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live according to the Spirit and put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live, is the maxim that Scripture puts forward there. And the reality is, all who are filled with the Spirit of God are children of God. And so, and that struck me the other day, you know, when I was kind of like grumbling, complaining about something. And I'm thinking, you know, this sounds like beneath me. It sounds like what am I doing here? Who do I belong to? Am I a child of God, or, you know, am I some orphan out there with nothing better to think of or say or do? And you know, no heavenly Father that to you know, care for me and lead me and guide me in this life. So I had to wake up there and say, so live as a child of God. And, you know, it's fine. Also, interestingly, we were listening to one of Sinclair Ferguson's sermons, and he made a point that I often thought, I very, very often think about when I hear, you know, sermons, and I think that's all well and good, you know, but how do you do this, you know? It's fine to make that kind of an assertion, but where's the how-tos, okay? Well, anyway, Ferguson said the how-tos are in the Bible. Though we often don't expect to find them there, we turn to books at the Christian bookstore or on Amazon for that kind of thing, how to, right? but if the how to
make your marriage sing,
like our book, So, but if the how-tos are not in the Bible, then those answers are not very reliable. Ferguson says, you know, God not only tells you to live that way, he shows you the resources God has given us to enable us to live that way. And so the answers are there. The how-tos are there.
We have to be checking that the resources, the guide, is truly the yellow brick road and not a false knockoff of it or something that looks very similar but isn't indeed the yellow brick road that leads us to Oz, who ends up making things well and good. So that's why that guidance that Dorothy got along the way from the good witch versus the wicked witch, and we get that, you know, we get different voices. I want to do this. I don't want to do that. What should I do? Should I do it anyway? Which a lot of times when we do the right thing, it's because we did it anyway, when we didn't really necessarily want to or it wasn't easy, but we did it anyway.
When we're under, if you find yourself under a spell in a poppy field and that wicked witch, you know, tries to take your ruby slippers off, well, first of all, she isn't going to succeed. That's what happened in The Wizard of Oz. She thought she could cast a spell on the poppies and make her fall asleep, sneak up on her, right? but that's the beauty of Christ in your life. And it's like you all of a sudden have this armor that's unpierceable, really, as far as a mortal blow, it's unpierceable. We can get injured, but
dented.
Yeah, a
like
few dents
the,
here and
like
there.
Like the but, Tin Man, who sang "If I Only Had a Heart."
A brain.
Yeah, I mean, a brain.
Oh no, you're right.
A heart.
The Tin Man sang
"That's what it
sang
says right
if
there.
I only had a heart." The Scarecrow was "If I Only Had a Brain." And have you ever met people who said, "If I only had a brain, if I only had a heart"? Yeah, it'd be nice to find someone who had a brain and a heart, right, to encourage me in my situation. But but there is a place to find a brain and a heart. And in this movie, it was The Wizard of Oz, right?
That's right. So along the path of the yellow brick road, though, God is good to give us friends. And so listen to those friends who advise you and
who did find a brain and a heart
and who guide you and who seem to be seeking for also the right things and the good things. And it seemed like these guys she encountered, the Tin Man, he really wished he had a heart. And is the words of this song that he sings are really good for us. And I'm sure that's why they're in the movie, because they're relatable to us, that we may think we have a heart, but how much more of that heart, you know, could we be using for good,
yes,
to make our homes that safe and happy place?
So here we go, "If I Only Had a Heart."
"The tinsmith forgot to give me a heart."
"No heart?"
"No heart. All hollow. When a man's an empty kettle, he should be on his mettle, and yet I'm torn apart. Just because I'm presuming that I could be kinda human if I only had a heart. I'd be tender, I'd be gentle, and awful sentimental regarding love and art. I'd be friends with the sparrows and the boy who shoots the arrows if I only had a heart. Picture me, a balcony, above a voice sings low.
Wherefore art thou, Romeo?
I hear a beat. A how sweet just to register emotion, jealousy, devotion, and really feel the part. I could stay young and chipper, and I'd lock it with a zipper, if I only had a heart.
So with the music of marriage here, talking about the yellow brick road to happiness and the destiny that we would like, obviously there are things we encounter that where things are lacking, and maybe it seems like the person we're living in needs a heart or heart transplant. We all need heart transplants in different ways because... you know, we are sinners who need God's help and guidance. So in the Dorothy saga, one thing I noticed is that she took advice. She was a good listener. She was discerning. She could tell, oh, this wicked witch, this doesn't sound right. And what the good witch tells her, she could sense the spirit, the difference in the spirit between the two. And so she took that advice to heart, and that is what we need to do to have a better future. And it's not that easy. And often in marriage, if we're being critical or in relationships, all we feel is we don't like to be criticized. Don't criticize me. Rather than... And it's very difficult to be able to put yourself in that place of, well, you know, I'm going to try to listen to that and take it to heart and put that into practice and converse with the person that you're having a difficulty with about, you know, where is this place where our hearts can meet? Not that we have to even agree. We could have polar opposite ideas politically or about religion, spiritual things. But there is a yellow brick road. And there is good and there is evil. And there is a destiny that's good and another destiny that is not good. And we have to be willing to think about our heart. Do we have a heart? You know, do we use our heart? Are we happy enough if our heart is filled with self-gratification? Or are we realizing we're not happy until we are in the right place fully with who God wants us to be? Are we content with the status quo and the same old over and over again, rather than improving the state of our heart? And so that was an important thing, I think, to pick up on, is taking advice and, you know, sticking on that road like she did. So,
yeah.
Bob, you had something.
And that's the kind of thing that God is really urging in all of us. Because even when we're tempted, for instance, we don't look at the short term. We look at even temptations in the light of the long term. We look at the small in light of the great, and we look at our sin in light of eternity. And so in that way, the Spirit really revolutionizes the way we look at things. Everything can get inwardly focused, like walls, you know, converging in on you and all around you, and it seems like there is no escape. But that's an illusion sent by the one who masquerades as an angel of light. It's not reality, really. Reality is there is a yellow brick road we can stay on, and as long as we follow it, we will get to our eternal destiny.
And the streets of gold.
Yeah, and the streets
literally,
of gold.
Maybe that's what motivated the yellow brick road idea, the streets of gold.
And we'll also get, first of all, to our temporal destiny, our home, which can become a place like heaven. How about that vision? So, but see, that's where the Spirit of God really motivates us for doing things, and to begin to see, you know, what's visible in light of the invisible, really, and time in light of eternity, and see all of our actions in light of a final harvest, not just individual events, not just one-offs in life. And when we get very narrowly focused on ourselves, and not really think about what God has done for us, and therefore, and how He's enabled us to live in the light of His Word, those things are very powerful thoughts, because in Scripture they're called indicatives and imperatives. The indicatives are all the things God has done for us that empower the imperatives, which are all the things God requires us to do. So sometimes we just look at, oh, all the requirements, and, oh, well, it's too much. I just fall short. I can't measure up.
I can't handle this situation. I can't keep going on this path. You know, a pathway, a yellow brick road, a brick's put together one at a time. You know, it's not something they just roll out like asphalt. And on our path, when you think about the painstaking work of even creating a brick road to follow, there's that's kind of like you said about, you know, each situation is connected to the next. The past, like us looking at our old original love letters and even our rough drafts of our marriage vows and all that, and revisiting the past, those bricks were put down, and then the next bricks as we went along and along and along. And we know that God's the one who already knows the path. He knows what's around the bend, but He's that, like that vice and advisor and those good friends. And He will bring those to us to help us to find that path. You know, in the very beginning, and I think it was in the first song, Dorothy was saying, well, where's the yellow brick road? Where is it? Where is it? Remember that when the...
Where's the way to Oz?
The good... fairy, or she wasn't a witch. Good.
She was a good witch, they called her.
Of the East.
So, yeah.
With her little, you know, pretty everything and scepter twinkling around. And Dorothy was just standing there and just, where is this path? And, you know, God is there to show us where that path begins. No matter where we're at, there's always a new beginning. And she looked down and said, oh, here it is. It was like a spiral where the very center was just this little point.
Yeah.
And then it, you know, it's not like there was an exit sign, you know. Exit 282, there you go, there's the yellow brick road. It was under her feet, but she hadn't noticed it. Mm-hmm. And then it gradually got wider. Yeah. And circled around and circled around, and she's like, well, what is this? And then she gets on the path, and once she's firmly on it and committed to it, you know, that goodness looks after her, which is mm-hmm. representative of God's goodness looking. Well, I don't know if the writers of the movie actually thought this, but it certainly mirrors that how our life does work, so that our situation becomes that safe and happy place that she finally, over the rainbow, you know, we dream of.
And even when you're on the Yellow Brick Road, you still encounter dangers, and Dorothy and her three friends, she have two, Scarecrow, Tin Man.
Lion.
Oh, and the Lion, yes. And they encounter a lot of dangers because of the Wicked Witch of the West, of course. And interestingly, when it looked like her only way to to save her hide was to kill Dorothy, basically, and so she first threw a fireball at the Scarecrow, and he caught on fire. And Dorothy picked up a bucket of water and threw it to put the fire out. And in the meantime, she threw it on the witch, and that's what melts a witch. So even in this extreme
conflict
where it looked mm-hmm. like, you know,
evil was going to win.
Evil had the power, you know, obviously had magical, mystical powers, seemingly unconquerable. But God always provides a way. In the temptation, he said, there's always a way of escape.
There's always a bucket of water handy.
Yeah. Exactly.
There is. Open your eyes. He's saying, well, there's a bucket of water there, metaphorically speaking.
That's what he told the woman at the well when he asked her for a drink, a Samaritan woman. And she gave him a drink. And then Jesus says, the water I have to give you, if you drink that, you'll never thirst. And she says, well, give me that water. So I can never thirst. What did Jesus say?
Is that the water that was in Dorothy's bucket?
I think it was.
No, that was
living water.
I think it was
living water.
It was.
So we have resources, folks. We do have resources to help us to follow the yellow brick road until we get to the pearly gates where we can be on the streets of gold, and that'll be interesting. And so the only other thing I can think of that we maybe didn't touch on today was that thinking about past, present, and future as we followed this road, and when we have albums that we take out, photo albums, old letters, I even found a couple letters from some high school friends in this box, and among the early letters of our new love for each other and so forth. Mm-hmm. You look at the past and you realize that you do reap exactly what you sow. Mm-hmm. Now, this is all changeable for the better, so don't think this isn't a negative. Past, present, and future. You sow a thought, you reap an action. You sow an action, you reap a character. You sow a character, you reap a life. You sow a life, and you reap a destiny. And this is what all the characters in The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy, and her friends, who struggled. I mean, how many of us don't have a heart? Or have a heart that's, we think we have a great heart, but we're actually really just boasting about our great heart. And that's not a great heart. We need improvement.
Or have courage.
How many of us have fear? Like the lion, he had no courage. He wanted courage.
Yeah.
To stand up, and the other guy needed a brain, the Scarecrow, and I know I need that often, especially being blonde.
I agree with that.
and then
you
the other guy needed
remark.
A heart. So, it's really a beautiful way, you know, and that's the beauty of using music and the arts too, and that they enhance. And like this station, this is a great station. There's all kinds of great songs they play here. Yeah. Right, Daryl? If you may say so yourself.
Yes.
But the arts and music and being creative is a great way to help truths to, you know, sink more deeply into us and help us so that we can see that we have come over the rainbow to that place in the end.
Okay.
One quick thing is that this guy we listened to on the weekend was talking about how in a Bible class the teacher came in and told all the students in there, I'm going to leave for 40 minutes, and when I come back, I want you to have each written your obituary. Well, that makes you think. So somewhere over the rainbow is where we want to be. So let's keep following that yellow brick road so that at the end, by somewhere or another, we can be happy. And, you know, it's not all our own doing. It's not our own strength. As we see the weaknesses in these characters represent weaknesses in us. But we have the help along the way that we need to get to that place.
And if you lost your home, the Yellow Brick Road will take you to the great Oz, who will then take you in a wonderful flight in a balloon back to your home. And you'll be there and say, no place like home.
That would be heaven, of course, in our real lives and death as it is coming, which hopefully will just be a transition to the life and the safe and happy place that we're all looking for.
And now we have one of the most wonderfully warm vocal performances of all time. Judy Garland singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
TheMusicOfMarriage.com.
Where there isn't any trouble. Do you suppose there is such a place, Toto? There must be. It's not a place you can get to by a boat or a train. It's far, far away. Behind the moon, beyond the rain. Away above the chimney tops, that's where.